Principles of Isolation Technique. Created and produced by Trainex Corporation. When you care for a patient who has a communicable disease, one which can be transmitted from person to person, you must prevent the disease from being passed directly to you and carried indirectly to others. The precautions you take to protect yourself and others are called isolation technique. Isolation technique applies to five different types of isolation: respiratory isolation, enteric precautions, strict isolation, protective isolation, and wound and skin precautions. The type of isolation ordered depends on the type of disease being isolated. This program demonstrates the techniques for preparing an isolation unit: hand washing, putting on and removing protective apparel, discarding disposable items and wastes within the isolation unit, and double bagging to remove disposable and non-disposable items from the isolation unit. After you've learned these techniques, you will be able to apply the principles of effective isolation technique to any type of isolation. The patient who has a communicable disease may be isolated in a special isolation unit, or he may be isolated in a standard patient unit, modified to meet the requirements of an isolation unit. If a standard unit is used, it should have a private bathroom, which will be used only by the hospital staff for various isolation procedures, such as hand washing. The patient may be required to use a bedside commode, bedpan, or urinal during his stay in isolation. The bathroom should also contain a soap dispenser that can be activated by a foot pedal to prevent hand contamination. Check your hospital's policy to determine the type of antiseptic soap to be used. The mattress should be covered with plastic for easy cleaning, and all furniture should also be washable. Line all waste baskets with plastic bags. Plastic bags are used because they are airtight and moisture-proof, and the bags are color-coded so they can be easily identified throughout the hospital as isolation bags. Use a color-coded plastic linen bag. If needle and syringe precautions are required, place a sturdy box in the unit for their disposal. Place an isolation cabinet or a second bedside stand outside the unit near the door. And make sure it contains color-coded plastic bags, paper bags, gowns, masks, gloves, and isolation labels. Because most communicable diseases are transmitted by physical contact, hand washing is the single most important precaution in isolation technique. When you wash your hands, run the water slowly to avoid splashing, and avoid touching the basin with your hands or your uniform. Apply disinfectant soap to your hands and rub them together briskly for at least 1 minute. Wash between your fingers, the backs of your hands, your palms, and around your fingernails. Don't use a file under your nails, because if you break the skin, you will create an avenue for infection. Rinse your hands well under slowly running water. Because your wrists are considered to be cleaner than your fingertips, hold your hands down so that the water runs from your wrists to your fingertips. For the same reason, when you dry your hands, wipe from your wrist down to your fingertips and discard each paper towel after one wipe. Because the faucet handle in an isolation unit is considered contaminated, cover the handle with a dry paper towel when you turn the water off. As an extra precaution, always wash your hands again, using this same technique, outside the isolation unit before you resume your duties. To protect yourself and prevent cross-contamination throughout the hospital, you must wear protective apparel anytime you enter the isolation unit. Depending on the disease being isolated, protective apparel may include a mask, gown, and gloves. Always put on your protective apparel before you enter the isolation unit. A mask is worn to protect you against inhalation of airborne microorganisms. Adjust it to completely cover your nose and mouth. Tie the upper strings and the lower strings firmly behind your head. If the mask has an elastic band instead of strings, adjust the mask over your nose and mouth and slip the band over your head. Adjust either mask so that it fits comfortably and securely. A gown is worn to keep your uniform free from contamination. First, unfold the gown with the opening facing you. If any tapes are missing, discard the gown and get another one. Slip your hands and arms into the sleeves of the gown and tie it at the back of your neck securely. Overlap the edges of the gown and back until the gown fits snugly and covers your uniform completely. Tie the waist tapes securely. Gloves are worn to protect your hands from contamination. Put your gloves on last, and be sure that the cuffs of the gloves cover the cuffs of the gown to avoid any exposure at your wrists. You are now ready to enter the isolation unit. When you have finished your duties in the isolation unit, remove your protective apparel before you leave the unit. Always remove your protective apparel in the correct order to protect yourself from contamination. First, untie the waist tapes of your gown and let them drop to the sides. Next, remove your gloves. First, hold the cuff of one glove and pull the glove down inside out over your fingertips, but don't take it off. Then, hold the cuff of the other glove, pull that glove down inside out, and remove it. Finally, hold the clean inside surface of the remaining glove, remove it, and discard both gloves in the wastebasket. Wash your hands before you remove your mask so that you will not contaminate your hair. The strings of your mask are considered clean. To remove your mask, first untie the bottom strings, then the top strings. Hold the mask only by the strings and discard it. To remove a mask with an elastic band, pull the band up over your head slowly so that the mask won't snap you in the face. Again, hold the mask only by the clean headband and discard it. Next, untie the neck tapes of your gown, which are also considered clean. Hold them and slip out of the shoulders of the gown. The weight of the gown will pull it down so that you can slip the sleeves off without touching the outside of the gown. Turn the gown inside out as you remove it, taking care to keep it away from your uniform. Roll the gown into a bundle and discard it in the linen bag or in the wastebasket, if the gown is disposable. Remember to wash your hands again before you leave the isolation unit. Because the door handle inside the isolation unit is considered contaminated, when you leave the unit, open the door by holding the handle with a dry paper towel. Prop the door open with your foot and drop the towel in a wastebasket inside the unit. Remember to wash your hands again outside the unit before you resume your duties. Special methods are required for discarding disposable items and wastes within the isolation unit. If they are available, use disposable dishes, utensils, instruments, and equipment in the isolation unit. Discard all disposables, including any leftover solid food or any dressings, in the wastebasket. Pour any leftover liquids in the toilet. Hold the container close to the toilet to avoid splashing yourself with the contaminated liquid. The same care should be taken when emptying a urinal, bedpan, or graduate. To prevent cross-contamination throughout the hospital, double bagging is required to remove disposables and non-disposables from the isolation unit. The first step in double bagging is done inside the isolation unit. For example, after you have thoroughly rinsed all non-disposable instruments, equipment, and utensils in cold water, place them in a paper bag. Paper bags are used because sharp instruments and utensils might puncture plastic bags, thus making the bagging ineffective. Next, fold the edges of the bag securely and set the bag near the door of the unit. Likewise, when the bag in the wastebasket or the linen bag is two-thirds full, remove it from its container, tie it, and set it near the door of the unit. For the next step in double bagging, you need the assistance of an uncontaminated person. She is not contaminated because she stands outside the door. She holds a large cuffed bag and protects her hands by placing them under the cuff. Prop the door open with your foot and be sure not to touch the outside of the door with your gown or your gloved hands. They are contaminated. Put each bag of contaminated items into a separate cuffed bag. Care should be taken to avoid touching the outside of the second bag and thus contaminating it. The uncontaminated person then uncuffs the bag, closes it securely, and ties it. She labels the bag to show that it contains material from the isolation unit and holds it well away from her uniform as she takes it to the appropriate area of the hospital. Disposable items are discarded, and non-disposable instruments and equipment are taken to central services for autoclaving or gas sterilization. Because the patient in isolation may feel cut off from the world, visitors are important to him. Hospital or health department authorities control who may visit and for how long. But the visitor must follow the same isolation technique you follow. And it may be your duty to show her how. Isolation technique is only effective if it is followed by all persons who come in direct or indirect contact with the patient. Remember all these principles of isolation technique. Wash your hands thoroughly before you remove your mask and gown, and before and after you leave the unit. Wear protective apparel anytime you enter the unit. Use the proper methods to discard disposable items and wastes within the unit. And double bag all disposable and non-disposable items to be removed from the unit. Preventing the spread of communicable disease is a serious responsibility. You must do all you can to protect yourself and to protect others. The only way you can provide this protection is by practicing consistent and effective isolation technique.